Hello, Freedom Nation. It's Jeff here once again with another episode of the Freedom Nation podcast. And on today's show, I've got James Holowski. James is a franchise consultant. He comes out of the franchise world. So he's not just a consultant, but he's also been in that world and been with a couple companies that, you know, lived and died by franchise. So he was really actively involved in that. Learned some good and bad from that process, and he's going to share a lot of that with you today. You know, franchise is one possible way that you might find your freedom day. It's kind of buying a business in a box. So stay tuned. We'll be right back on with you in just one second.
Welcome to the Freedom Nation Podcast with Jeff Kickle. On this show, Jeff shares his expertise in financial and retirement planning from a different perspective. Planning for your Freedom Day, which is the first day that you wake up and have enough income or assets and do not have to go to work that day. Learn how to calculate what you need, how to generate income sources, and listen to interviews from others who've done it themselves. Get ready to experience your own Freedom Day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. James, how are you, sir?
Very good. Thank you so much, Jeff, for having me on. I really appreciate it.
I'm excited. I'm always a big fan. I've never invested in a franchise, but I'm a big fan of the concept. And I think for the right person, it's the right thing to do in a lot of cases, especially if you're not really good at creating systems or anything. So let's start off. Tell us a little bit about your story. How'd you get to where you are today?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, definitely. So I was really over 20 years in corporate world with Del Taco. It's a okay. Corporate franchise fast food place. I started there as a general manager, worked my way up into regional manager, and it was okay, but you know, just kind of the grind, and then you know,
good chain, bad food,
yeah, right?
It's terrible.
And then a company called Pyology, they were growing rapidly. Mm-hmm. They called me, said, "Hey, come help run our franchise division." They had one store when I joined them, I came over. It was in their operations, and my whole role was to support franchisees. So I would go out to franchise openings, support franchisees, be their liaison, help bring opening teams in. So I really got to know a lot of the franchisees, and we went from 1 to 100.
That's awesome.
It was really, really quick. Had to really turn a lot of you had to have your head on a swivel. You had to make a lot of changes quickly. That was a great time. Chaotic, yes. Mm-hmm. Great time, yes. But then the largest franchisee of Pyology said, "Hey, come work for us. Be our head of our operations. Partner with us. Buy into the company and partner with us." Well, so that was a tough decision. They were based pretty much right near where I live, and it was two NFL football players that owned it. So my love of sports, location. Very easy decision.
Franchise, it's like everything up your alley. Yeah,
everything there. So I worked with their dad. Their dad was a former NFL football player. So we did operations. The brothers, they were playing at the time. So we had our Pyologies. We did a baked bear cookie franchise. Mm. We did our own coffee shop concept.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and we did our own cookie dough concept that we did. So we did a lot of things. One of the brothers then retired from the NFL, and the other brother got hurt, couldn't fulfill the end of his contract. So, they were looking now at doing different things, and they decided, "Hey, let's sell off." And I thought that was a really good move, and it turned out to be an excellent move because COVID happened right after we did that. So it was timed really well. So they went into tequila because they had some family heritage that had been in the tequila business.
Nice.
And that was great. Loved tequila, but not something I'm passionate about. So then it was a matter of what do I do now?
You can't really franchise tequila.
No, you can't really franchise tequila. So I'm like, okay, well, what do I do now? And I actually looked at maybe doing another restaurant franchise, getting into my own franchise. And then it was just a matter of like, well, wait a minute. I saw a lot of people in pyology that really were in the business that really had no idea what they were getting themselves into. The restaurant world, the fact that they were going to have to be there more than 40 hours. I mean, they didn't understand the restaurant business. So it was a very bad fit.
So, my general rule is if you don't read Anthony Bourdain's book, or if you do read Anthony Bourdain's book and you still want to get into the restaurant business, you're an idiot.
Right. I mean, and you know, oddly enough, yes, when I have people that come up to me and want to look at a restaurant, I tell them no.
I won't inflict that on you. No, that's bad.
I just will not do it. Yeah. One, it's one of the most expensive way of capital wise, and your return on investment, it is as good as you think. You see that line of cars there? Well, that sounds great, but the cash register is not ringing like you really think it is. The margins are razor thin. So, I did see all the misplacements there, and I thought, well, when I go out and be a franchise consultant, I know the franchise world very well. So I decided to start the Fran Dream and just went and shown people what's out there in the franchise world, match them, show them, talk about different industries. Cause you know, the first one, everyone always thinks, hey, restaurants is the only thing that's franchise. No, couldn't be further from the truth. It's every industry you can think about. You drive along, you see a truck go by, that's probably a franchise system that they're in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm a big believer in the franchise system. I believe, like you said, business in a box. They have the guardrails up so you don't swerve off the path. You have not only help from the franchisor, you have help from franchisees that are in the system because everyone wants everyone to do well. So it's really a great teamwork type system to do. And why not go with a system where someone's made the mistake so you don't have to?
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. So, you know, when you start to think as a franchise, let's just start with that, because I don't think a lot of people know that you guys exist out there. You know, they'll just go out and do a Google search and look at, you know, what kind of franchise can I get into and what's the cheapest one I can get into? What is it like working with a franchise consultant? So what is it exactly that you do for them?
So I basically will find out their goals of what they're looking for, what their budget is, goals of owner-operator. Do you want passive? Do you want to try to stay in your job? That makes it a little bit tougher to get the right concept, because some concepts will say they're semi-passive. They truly are not. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's finding that. And then, you know, the long-term goals. Are you looking to have a family business, to have generational wealth? Are you looking to, you know, do multiples eventually? Because then we got to find a brand that has a lot of territory. So it's really about sitting down, finding a budget, finding the goals. And then the background of a person is kind of important. You know, sales and just even if it's IT, you know, you want to find what they're comfortable with. But also what you can also say is, in a franchise, I could take an IT person and they can get into an HVAC company because the franchisor is going to train them how to run the business, who to hire, and give them that playbook. So they're not necessarily, the IT guy is not the guy working on the HVAC. He's hiring people to do it and running the business. So basically all the industries out there, we talk about those. And then I come up with a list. I show them maybe 5 or 10 different franchises that I think are excellent fits. And they pick one or two of them. I would introduce them to the franchisor. Then I'm staying with them during the whole time. Here's questions to ask the franchisor. Here's, you know, how to read a FDD and just any general franchise questions that come up. I help them with that. They need help with lending, I help them with lenders, and just, I'm that general, you know, questionnaire guy. I will tell you, some people use, once I introduce them to the franchisor, I get people that are leaning still on me heavily. Sometimes I get, hey, James, I got this. I'm good. Yeah. They'll ask me a couple general questions and that's it. So it is really, you know, it's very rewarding talking to people and just finding about their goals and what might fit for them.
Well, and I think getting to know them and understanding on what they're willing to do, you know, in a lot of cases, because I think some people think it's, you know, some people think getting a franchise is, well, I'm basically just buying another job at that point. And other people look at it as, hey, I'm the business owner. I'm not going to, you know, I think the HVAC thing, people would think, well, I'd have to be an AC contractor, but you can hire a master, a master HVAC person, or, you know, if you're an electrician, you know, you hire a master electrician to be that person that's overseeing the electrician part of it while you run the business.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just, hey, if it's that, you know what, I'm used to working my corporate job. I want to have something of my own that I could go to and call my own every day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I still, though, I really like working 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. You can find a franchise that can do that. Their hours are operations 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. You could find one. You're going to have to put some effort in after hours sometimes, but there's where the business is needed 9 to 5. And then you can still have your weekends off and have all the freedom that you didn't have of making your son or daughter's sports programs. Mm-hmm. And that's just, to me, that's the most important thing.
Yeah. Well, and getting to the point where you realize, okay, you've got to hire people that can run the business for you and you're not, you know, intimately involved in everything. That's where you truly gain your freedom for your business.
Absolutely. It just like any business or even any job. I mean, if you don't, if you're the one doing all the tasks and not delegating your work out, then you're going to drive yourself crazy. You're not going to have any time. But if you're delegating and managing people, it makes your job a lot easier. Same in business, same exact philosophy.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about when you sit down with a person, who is a good franchisee? You know, when you sit down with them, you're like, oh, this person's going to be successful at it.
No, mainly really it's the mindset right at the start. The mindset of, hey, you know what? I'm going to bet on myself. I'm done what I'm doing. I'm going to take my 401k. I'm going to use the rollover and I'm going to find a franchise. But I am done clocking in and out. This is what I want to do. 100%. I have no fear. I'm betting on myself. Mm-hmm. That is half the battle of like, okay, I can do this and I want to do this. So that willingness to just jump and take the leap and bet on yourself.
So when you go through your process, kind of narrowing down, you help find them, let's say 5 or 10 different options when it comes to a franchise. What's that process look like for somebody that is going to get it? And let's say you're involved in the whole process. What does that process look like kind of step by step?
Yeah. So we'll have already had it narrowed down. Let's say I show them 5 to 10 different options and they go, you know what, James, I really love this indoor golf simulator business. I want to talk to them. And you know what, I really love this dog grooming business. I want to talk to them. So I'll introduce them to the franchisor. The franchisor is going to have an introduction call with them. And they're going to just basically get to know them because at some point, if they decide to go forward, that's your business partner. So they're interviewing you as much as you're interviewing them because it's going to be a partnership. And I always tell candidates, really, that first call and really this whole process should never, ever, ever seem like you're buying a used car with the used car salesman saying, you got to buy.
We only have 2 left. Right. You got to buy them today.
So if we get that in the franchise world, let's run. Okay.
Yeah.
That's not what we want. It's a major purchase. Yeah. They know that.
You want the franchisor that's a little skeptical of you at that point.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, hey, this is a big deal. So let's make sure we've got it fit. So they're getting to know you. They're feeling you out. And then at the end of the call, you go, okay, I'm interested. Let's go another step. Typically, they'll send you out what's an FDD, which is a franchise disclosure document. Okay. In that, it has the royalties they're going to charge, the franchise fee, which is the one-time fee. And in there might be an earnings claim in there that's drawn up. And I always tell, hey, I'm going to, you know, give you, I can't read the FDD for you because that would mean I'm telling you, you know, what I think the FDD says. You got to read it on your own. I'll give you a guide how to read it. But one thing I always say is when you look at those earnings claim, just kind of just, you know, it's good information to have, but the reason, the one way you're going to find out about our franchisees happy in the system is you're going to call them and validate with them. You know, would you do this again? When were you profitable? And kind of what, you know, what does that look like? And talk to as many as you can, because you get all the numbers in that FDD. And you want to talk and do your research, because that's real the nitty bones comes down. Because really, you know what, no one's going to make your business go. You're going to make your business go. So what you want to find out is support top notch in the franchise. When I had a problem, were they there for me? So so that comes with the FDD. You have a call, you review that with the franchisor. Then the next call would be, you go, yeah, I want to go on. The next call would be, hey, here's our, here's a, the person who's in charge of our marketing. Here's how we're going to do that. Here's our real estate department. They're going to help you find a location if it is one that needs the location on it. So it's going to go all different. Meeting everybody on the franchisor team is what you're going to do. And then if you go, yeah, you know, I think I'm really right there, you're going to go to Discovery Day, where it's either virtual or in person, where you meet everybody in the team. They, you get, you know, just, hey, here, there's everything we've talked about. We're showing it to you again, you know, do you want to do this or not? And along that way, if it, once it, you, it's what's called, you know, then you would sign an agreement and then you would be off and running. During that process, you have to kind of figure out, how am I going to fund this? You know, what am I going to do? So funding options, there's people that self-fund. There's people that do a, take a, you know, a HELOC out in their home and do that. Very popular one for people coming from the corporate world is using their 401k, rolling it over into a franchise world. Or there's the SBA route. SBA loan, you know, requires about 20% down in a business account of what you're, of what you're kind of total borrowing. So there's many different options out there of funding that process. So once you got all that buttoned up, it's sign and you're into training.
Nice. And what's a, so typical, I mean, I can't, you can't answer this for everything, but typical process of, you know, from signing on the paper, I'm now a franchisee. What's the typical training like for a lot of franchises?
Yeah. So it kind of really depends on the franchise, but a lot of them, some could be done virtually and then some will be done at their corporate office. So typically it's always usually at least 40 hours of training, if not more. So it's a good solid training week. And if it's to where you have people that you're going to hire, they'll train your, some of them will train your staff for you. That's out there. So that you, they definitely want to make sure training's the backbone of everything, that everyone is ready and is equipped to run the business.
That's beautiful. And then, you know, okay, so you're off and running. Let's say you're, you know, you've gone through your training, you've got, let's say your location, whatever it is, set up, you're going along. What should you be expecting from the franchisor in this process, you know, as you get up and running and everything else?
Yeah. So the franchisor, let's say it's the golf simulator business.
Okay.
Let's just say it's that. So their role is they we've got the building, that's all set. So now it's grand opening. So they have a marketing program designed to help you get started. So it may be required you putting some boots on the ground of whatever their program is. But in the golf simulator business, what you want to do there is you want to open up. The goal is really any type of membership based franchise business. The goal is to kind of open the stores, open the doors, basically even where you're, where even. So it's doing a lot of the franchisor's pre-sales of memberships.
Okay.
So that's what you're working really hard of doing, the pre-sales of memberships and you know, putting, following that marketing plan. Then when it comes to opening the doors, the franchisor is there supporting you during your opening as well. And to just to make sure that you're launched really great, then you're up and running on your business. And anytime you have a problem, you call the franchisor, you can call franchisees in the system. And the franchisor more than likely will do visits to you every quarter or twice a year, however their system's set up. But the channels of communication never stop, because typically they'll hold a call every week with the franchisors to, you know, just talk about what's going on with the business.
Yeah. Okay. Well, very cool. So I'm assuming around closing time, that's where you kind of exit the situation and you're moving on at that point. You've the chick has left the nest and you're letting them go fly.
Yeah. I'm letting them go fly. That's kind of where I left the business and just go, hey, you know what? I want to be invited to your opening and get an invite and show up and just congratulate them. And that's kind of my role, is just to get them there.
Exactly. So how, you know, I mean, you, I'm assuming you work anywhere in the world or anywhere in the United States, correct?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So I'm on the West Coast. So, you know, typically I will be up at 5 a.m. with the 8 o'clock call in the East Coast. So it's great, because, you know, the West Coast is it's the perfect place to do what I do, because if you're up early, you got the 8 o'clock calls. And for the East Coast people, you're done at 2. Yeah. And the West Coast people, you're done at 5. But at the East Coast, if you have someone who wants to do a call at 7 o'clock because they're working, that's super easy for me to do.
Four o'clock. It's 5 o'clock. Yeah. In the afternoon or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So life is good.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. Yeah. I did business for a while when we were traveling and I was in Hawaii. And I'm like, it works out pretty good. You know, I mean, I'd stay up late, work with people, and then, you know, be open for the, stay up late for the markets. And then by the time it was surf time, it was, you know, markets were closed for the day. So life was pretty good at that
point. Yeah. All's done, right? Yeah.
That's awesome. All's done. And, and it was funny, because my wife and I went to, Europe a couple years ago for Christmas markets. And I was sitting basically trading accounts in a bar in the Czech Republic. I'm sitting there and I'm like, hey, life is good. I mean, it's bar time and market's just opening in America and it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon here. This is perfect world. So
yeah, that's good stuff. That's good stuff.
So, you know, where do people go wrong on the financial or on the franchise side? Where do you see the challenges really people face?
I think really the challenge that people face is, and when they get into a franchise, as long as they understand it in the beginning, the challenge really, and I tell my candidates, it's your business, it's your assets, you have to run it. Yes, you follow what the franchisor tells you to do 100%, but the franchisor is not running your business.
Yeah. Their butt's not on the line. Yeah.
They're your coach. And you know what? Yeah. A lot of people, you know what? There's a lot of people that get into the franchise business that probably should have never got into franchise business because they didn't want to follow the system. Those are the franchisees during validation. They're going to go, it's all the franchisor's fault. It's like, well, how much time did you put into your business? Oh, about 10 hours a week. Yeah. There's your problem.
Yeah. There's your sign. You didn't really work at it. And I find that with, you know, small businesses, I own co-working spaces. And, you know, one of the things I find, it's like, when I hear somebody that started a business and they're in their, let's say, first 2 years, and they're like, well, I need work-life balance. Okay. You're not going to make it. I'm sorry. It's just, there is no work-life balance for the first 5 years, really.
Right.
And you may get some life after that, but there's no work-life balance.
100%. You got to make it happen.
Is there anything new in your world that you're starting to do or anything different?
You know, the really it's what I do is I just like every once in a while, I will go out and I will go. I constantly research franchises of new franchises coming up. So I'll look at different franchises that are coming out, or they're called emerging, that they're just starting out. And what I will try to do is I'll reach out to them so I can learn more about their business and go, hey, what is your growth program? Would you like to use someone like me, a franchise broker, to help you grow your business? And if they're ready for that, absolutely. Then that's just another franchise that I can put back that, you know, that I can use. Yeah. And oftentimes you'll see a franchise that may be like a franchise, like the golf simulator business, the top golf simulator business right now, territory's kind of drying up. But so there's a new one that might come up that offers something just as good, but they'll have more territory available for that person who really wants to, you know, have a multiple unit type of deal. Yeah. So I search out for those and I do vet it. I mean, if I look at the model and I look at maybe some of their earnings claims and it looks like it's going to be more of a hobby than a business, it's something I typically don't show any franchises that are going to be hobbies.
Yeah. So typically, how do you get paid when it comes to that? It's I'm assuming on the close or?
Much like a real estate agent, right on the close. Okay. So no one, for my services, it's all complimentary to the client. They don't pay any higher fees. So like, it's like, oh, they're using a broker, the franchise fees now, you know, 80,000. It's they don't pay any extra fees or anything. So, I mean, it really is a smart thing to do is use a franchise broker if you're looking at.
Absolutely. Yeah, especially somebody like yourself that not only was, you know, because I've talked to people that are franchise brokers that have never owned a franchise themselves, you know, and so I think you working in that world and especially understanding what it takes to run a good or to be a good franchisor, I think you can smell out the BS that a lot of them have.
Yeah. I mean, really, you know, really there's like 400 franchises in my inventory over that. And that's whittled considerably when I go to show it to my candidates, because it's got to have really strong margins. Otherwise why show it?
No, I know. It's like, why get into a business that's got terrible margins? That's why it's just no restaurants.
Sorry. Or the hope that it's getting better. Well, you know, we're going to make some changes in our margins. Let me know when that happens.
When you fix it, let me know. And then we'll go from there.
Yeah.
Last question, but what for somebody that is thinking about getting into a franchise, what is the one piece of advice that you would give them?
I would say one, bet on yourself. That's it. Okay. You just got to have that mindset. I've got to have family on board. You know, if the wife's not on board or even the other's on board, probably not going to work. So that is it. But the one piece of advice is really do your research. Don't fall in love with the brand and go, I don't need to talk to the franchisees. I love the franchisor. I'm good. Do your homework.
Yeah. You'll find out.
Yes.
Well, great. Let's transition to the fast five questions.
Yes.
All right. So you woke up in the morning, your business is gone. You have $500 in your pocket, a laptop computer, place to live, food and clothing. What do you do first?
Well, you know, I think really I would use my knowledge of my laptop to start conversations right away, because reaching out to my network, creating really quick content possibly and connecting with franchisors, becoming, you know, conversations become candidates. So it would just be getting back out there and networking and just relying on my network to get myself back up.
Brilliant. Next question. What is the biggest business mistake you've ever made?
So in the corporate world, the biggest business mistake I ever made was playing office politics. You know, where I knew my decision and what I wanted to do was the right way to do it. But I knew if I made this decision, the politics were going to come down and it wasn't going to be a good thing for me. So I crumbled to the office politics, where I should have stayed what I knew was best for my team and my business.
Yeah. And that happens all the time, where you get bowled over and then, you know, then it comes out. Yeah, if you'd have listened to me, things would have been much better.
Absolutely. You know, and then when I would say entrepreneur wise, really, what I would say the biggest mistake that I would make entrepreneur wise in the restaurant is, you know what, the main thing is the main thing. So when you lose focus on your customers and guests, they're the main thing.
Yeah.
About providing great service and making a great experience for them. You know, you kind of diversify and go off of, hey, let's make this a little bit better. But if it's not really helping your guest and making your customers more satisfied, it's the wrong thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Next question. What's a good book that you'd recommend for our audience?
So this is kind of crazy. I really, Ryan Serhan is the real estate agent and, millionaire type things. He wrote a book called Big Money Energy. It is all about how to act at work, how to dominate at life, how to make millions. But it's all about interacting and using your network and using people of building not only your business, but helping them out as well. And just really a great read.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. What's a tool that you use in your business that you might recommend to everyone?
Well, I will say I use ChatGPT to rewrite every email and every text that I make. Yep. I want to make sure every email is right, and I'll just flip it in there, copy and paste it, and send my emails. It's something I use every day.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a tool that is just improving and improving every day. I mean, I use several of them, but nobody innovates more and nobody's moving at a faster clip than ChatGPT.
So really, totally. I mean, now it knows who I am. It knows my business. Yep. It knows exactly, hey, this is James, you should use it this way. It's like, okay. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I always tell people I created, basically over a year and a half, I trained ChatGPT to basically write me, my style of writing. And so now all I have to do is just say, hey, write that in Jeff Kickel style. And it's like, and it just pops it out. And it's exactly what I would say if it was me writing it. It would have taken me 3 hours to write it, where it was 3 seconds for them to write it.
100%. Just amazing.
Last question. What is your definition of freedom?
Well, I would say for freedom, really, gratitude and generosity is the gateway to freedom. So that's the gateway to freedom. Freedom to me is being able to be in a career that you have time to enjoy life, enjoy, catch baseball games, sporting events that you want, watch your children grow up. I don't think that anybody on their deathbed has ever said, I wish I would have worked another day.
And, I wish I'd have worked on that weekend.
Right. I mean, really. And that goes back to it, gratitude and generosity. It's the gateway to freedom.
Absolutely. Well, James, if somebody is interested in a franchise and needs, the help of somebody like yourself, where's the easiest way to get a hold of you?
TheFranDream.com. My website's there. There's actually a little quiz you can take, a business assessment, so you can learn a little bit about yourself, or just email me at James@TheFranDream.com.
Perfect. Excellent. Well, James, thank you so much for being on the show today. Really appreciate your advice and guidance. And hopefully, folks, reach out to him if you're interested in a franchise. I mean, one, it doesn't cost you anything to talk to him. And two, you might find that thing that gives you the passion that helps you to get to where you want to be. So make sure that you subscribe to the channel. Make sure that whether you're watching or you're listening to us, that you're subscribed, and please give us an upvote or a comment or whatever. So thanks a lot, and we will see you guys back here the very next time.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom Nation Podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and all the major channels. Wherever you're listening, please subscribe to the channel and leave a rating and review. If you have friends and family that could benefit from their own Freedom Day, please share with them. Finally, join Freedom Nation by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.